we think about Barclay College reaching 100 years, you must imagine what has occurred since Barclay College, Friends Bible College, first came about. Think about what social changes have emerged. Founded right in the middle of World War I, then World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Grenada, the first Iraq War, second Iraq War, Afghanistan, the bombings, in the Middle East, the drone war. Think about the social changes, too. You had civil rights, Roe v. Wade, Brown versus Board of Education, the women's liberation movement, the changes in family structure, the changes in demographics. Barclay, as its produced ministers, has found itself in the wave of constant change. And the question probably on the minds, whether they realize it or not, is how do we be faithful to the truth that God has given us, the gospel and the message of Christ, when everything around us is moving and changing so fast? Because the temptation is to give in to the narratives that are not from God. And I think you should be mindful of this. You're emerging soon as ministers of the gospel in a world that is changing faster than ever. I recently purchased life insurance for my daughters. Don't ask. It's family and insurance and just terribly paranoid. The insurance salesman told me that they just redid the actuarial tables, that now they are assuming that my daughters, who are four now, their average lifespan will be 105. That's a jump from the mid-80s is where they were. So you think about if they're going to be 105 and people are having children later in life, your grandkids and great-grandkids will be living at the time that the movie and series Star Trek is set in. The 23rd century. You will be living, your grandkids and great-grandkids will be living at the time we assume we will have Klingons and starships, etc. What change will they experience? What change are you going to experience if you live to 105, 115? The world is going to look like a radically different place. All that to say is when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're not accepting Him in the vacuum of this church as our ticket to heaven. We're accepting Him as our guidepost, guideline, and ultimately guide through this ever-changing world. To bring the love and the truth of Christ to all situations so that you would have an answer to anyone who would ask you for the joy you have in your heart. And as you know, one of the social issues facing the church, facing our nation, facing you individually as ministers of the gospel is this issue of diversity, of conflict, of oppression, of misunderstanding that we see in this nation. And so we as a college, as a community of faith, have to ask ourselves, how do we be Christ in this situation where there is racism, prejudice, oppression, hatred, misunderstanding? How do we act as Christ in this ever-changing world? Well, student services wanted to tackle this head-on, and they didn't want to do it themselves, and so they gathered a team to address this issue, and they want to share with you today. And so I'm going to introduce Tiffany Van Dame, who is the VP of Student Services, who's going to explain what this chapel is going to be about. But before that, will you pray with me, not only for the team, which is, I'm sure, nervous about proclaiming their feelings, thoughts, and hopefully God's truth on the matter, but also pray for all of us as we seek to be the living and true God, to invite Him into this conversation. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day, and I thank You, Lord, that throughout the narrative of Scripture, You see a God who is on the side of the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed. You are a God who is on the side of those whom history, whom the society, whom the government, whom the world says are the losers. Father, you are a God on the side of the sinner, of the failure, of the poor in spirit, those who seek belief but need help with their unbelief. You are a God on the side of those who don't deserve your help, which is every single one of us. As we stand here today in triumph because you have won the victory, let us look out into the harvest fields and see those who are beaten down. The harvest fields that are weighed down by the burden of injustice in this world, whom the Son of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ does not reach because of the darkness of this world. Let us go boldly, not worrying about the consequences or effects. Let us build bridges. Let us break down walls. Let us reconcile those who have been separated by geography, by distance, by race, by class, by education, by political party. Let us seek the unity that you seem to care about so much, but we seem to care about so little. Above all, we know in your word, you've called us to a life that is radically different than what the world proposes. And Father, we believe. Help us with our unbelief. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Tiffany Van Damme.
Thank you. Well, like Derek said, I'm just going to kind of set up what the rest of the chapel is going to look like today. Excuse me. So through mostly conversations starting with Jim LaShana and Jay Bradley, and then bringing myself into the picture, we have created a diversity appreciation team. And right now that consists of 10 students. We've just started meeting, and so we've started having conversations of what does this look like. Diversity is all around us, whatever way you want to define that, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But it's all around us, and sometimes we look at that as a bad thing. It's not. God created us differently. God created races and ethnicities and gender and all of those sort of things. Sometimes we take that different to be wrong. It's not. It's just different. And so we need to celebrate that. We need to embrace that. And so that's one of the things we want to start these conversations on campus. We're going to start that conversation today. You're going to hear from a couple of the students, not all of them for several reasons, but time, and some people don't like sharing in chapel. And so we're going to just do a little glimpse of that today. But we want to continue this conversation throughout the semester and beyond. One of the things we've been talking about, if you think about this last year, there's been a lot of conflict and tension because of race, because of political affiliations, because of a lot of things that when you think about it, some people, your heart might already be racing because I just said some of those things and haven't named any names, but you know what I'm talking about. There's been a lot of tension and conflict. And whether you are someone that you could sit down and you can say all the reasons why you're for or against our new incoming president, or you're for or against certain things that have happened in the history of the world and in our country, whatever your reasons are for that, or if you're someone you're like, I know it's there, but I don't really think about it. It doesn't affect me. One way or another, it does affect all of us. Just as Christians, we should be the ones that are speaking out and speaking up for equality, for freedom, for justice. And that doesn't, that can look many different ways. But it's all around us, whether we see it right here in Haviland and we're specifically affected by it today, at one point or another, you're going to be affected by it. Even over Christmas break, I was in New York City, and that's a big city, very different than Haviland. A fight broke out in Walgreens over race, like Walgreens. People passing by, and they were about to get in a fist fight because of it. And so we need to start having these conversations, because I know they're happening, maybe not on a large scale, but I know that they're happening, and you're thinking about those, of what does this look like? And so you're going to hear about that today through students, how they have shared a little bit of what it's looked like for them. So just to kind of set a framework for the chapel, there's two things we'll focus on. You've heard throughout the last couple chapel speakers, and then also when we shared the movie, for those of you who were there on Monday night, the movie 42. Monday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and he was obviously influential in talking about the segregation between blacks and whites and races and all of that, and in promoting freedom in a nonviolent way. But if you think about it, guys, that was 1963. That was only 54 years ago, which is not very long. There's still a lot of tension. There's still a lot of anger. There's still a lot of hurt that is with that. And obviously, it goes beyond the Martin Luther King speech hundreds of years before and with Abraham Lincoln and all of that, too. But this is still a very real thing. And so we want to promote appreciation for all of this diversity in light of Martin Luther King. So we are going to watch part of the speech today, probably a little bit longer than what you've seen before. And then also just to appreciate diversity on the larger scale, race, ethnicity, gender, like I said, beyond that, that we're all different and we all have that unity through Christ. And so we want to be able to appreciate that and have these hard conversations too, because we don't all have the same views on everything. And so we hope this can be a safe environment to do that. So with that, there's going to be three students that are going to share. So if you guys want to come up and we'll just go right along the line.
What's up? Sorry, Jerry. How are you guys doing? You guys doing good? All right. So if y'all who don't know me, I'm Ethan. I'm a senior here at Berkeley, theology major. And this diversity team and this chapel means a lot to me. Not only being a Christian, but being biracial, being half black and being half white. Because and for me, I kind of lived in this tension. I didn't know where I lined up. Like, I wasn't black enough to be one of the black kids, but I wasn't necessarily white enough to be one of the white kids either, so I just kind of met in the middle, I guess. But instead of having to do that, instead of having to pick one side or the other, I'm both, and that's what God created me, and I'm beautiful in that. So one of the big things I want to talk about is obviously, I mean, we hear all about the racial conversations. We hear about it. We may not acknowledge it, but it's there. And it's something that I feel and I mean no offense to anybody, but I feel in the grand scheme of things, the church has largely been silent. The church has largely not had these conversations and not tried to understand kind of both sides. So kind of for me and my hope with this is to generate conversation, civil conversation, not just shouting back and forth because that's not going to do anything, but civil conversation about the topic of race and things like that. I couldn't hear you, whatever you said. Who said that? I couldn't hear it. Oh, okay. I'm keep going. I'm sorry. I'm deaf. But as Tiffany was talking, she mentioned the I Have a Dream speech. And the things that I noticed about the title, I Have a Dream. It's not I had a dream or I'm going to have a dream. I have a dream. It's present tense. And I think us as Christians, it almost feels as though we're obligated to keep that dream alive, to build bridges to build bridges into these racial conversations and these uncomfortable conversations. We need to be like Jesus in that. We need to engage the marginalized and things like that and be understanding of where they come from, while all kind of in all that giving God the glory. So that's my heart behind it. I'm hoping to generate more conversation and maybe get some better understanding of the topic.
Well, my name is Sean Richardson, and I'm actually going to go a different way, and I'm going to talk about my background a little bit. I came from a town called Monta Vista, Colorado, and it's a very Mexican town. Yeah. both of my dads are actually gang leaders, and they started a gang where I grew up, so I grew up very in a gang-related atmosphere. So I grew up a lot around drugs. I grew up a lot around all my cousins being in gangs, which was very common for me. But when my dad passed away, when my mom met my stepdad, he started the gang with my biological dad, but he was actually a pastor, which our church was very different because we were more focused on reaching people that were in gangs because that was most of my family in the town. And it was a town probably as big as Pratt, so it was a very small town. And then through that experience, just reaching people, it's not always about race, but also people's background. Because when you start to see people where they come from, you start to see God's love for them. And you start to relate to them. And most of the people that go through just different backgrounds, they just want you to understand and love them. And yeah, that was something basically learned a lot growing up.
Good morning. My name is Ashley Weinacht. I'm a theology major, and I'm a sophomore here. Piggybacking off of what Sean and Ethan said, sometimes with all of these conversations and a lot of tension, it's like, well, how do we start building bridges? Because we can talk a lot, but it's like, okay, what do we do? And today I would like to share with you a little bit of my background, where I came up, where I grew up, but also tell you a story that I think illustrates how do we start to build those bridges rather than putting up walls. So I am a pastor's kid. Grew up in Indiana, then moved when I was 9 to Greenleaf, Idaho. Greenleaf was also founded by Quakers. And let's see, I grew up going to the Friends Church, grew up in a solid family. In 2014, the Lord called me out of 900 people in Greenleaf to go be a friend of Jesus in the Middle East. So I lived and worked in Palestine, on the west side, on the other side of the wall from Jerusalem, in the West Bank, primarily in the city of Ramallah. I went, like I said, tiny little white Quaker town, 60,000 people, 98.5% Muslim, all Palestinian. Talk about culture shock in every sense of the word. The money was weird. Like, nothing made sense. The food was completely different. The people were also completely different from me. And so I got a baptism by fire into how do I build bridges. One of those ways that is so key is we have to learn other people's languages. I mean, we all speak English here, but we all come from different cultural backgrounds, and the things that we say may or may not mean the same thing to a different person. Sometimes learning each other's language is very, very simple. So I'd like to tell you a story. My primary job, well, not job, what I did, I should say, was I did yard duty on the playground at the girls' school in Ramallah. I lived at the boys' school, worked at the girls' school. These schools were founded by Friends, late 1800s, early 1900s. And they're now, barring the names, they are now coeducational. Boys' school is junior high through high school. Girls' school is K through sixth grade. And we showed up and said, what do you need us to do? First day at the girls' school. And they said, we need you out on the playground watching these kids. There's about 600 of them that go to that girls' school. FYI, kids on that side of the ocean are every bit as squirrely and mischievous as they are over here. And I was like, okay, this, I guess, is what I'm supposed to be doing. So every day I went down to my playground area 3 times a day and watched roughly 50 to 100 kids for varying lengths of time. Some of them spoke English, some of them didn't, so I had to learn, how do I build a bridge? How do I learn how to communicate across this language bound, across this language barrier? And some of the kids had disabilities and had a worker that would come with them to the playground area just to make sure that they stayed safe. So, story I want to tell you. So there was this lady who would come with her little boy who was disabled, and they'd sit on the playground, and I'm like, I don't speak Arabic, she doesn't speak English, but she is a person, so I need to acknowledge her presence. So I would smile at her. And she would kind of like smile back, like, what on earth is this crazy kid doing over here? Then I started taking Arabic lessons. Pretty soon I was able to say, marhaba, and she would greet me, marhaba, which means hello. And then we'd keep going. Then I got more comfortable with being able to finally greet her in Arabic. Say, marhaba, kifek winti? Tamam, kifek winti? Tamam. And then we'd go on our way. That means, hi, how are you? I'm good. We never got past that, and she always gave me this really funny look like, you're trying so hard to speak Arabic, and you are failing. You are failing, but thank you for your effort. Gold star for effort. But it went from, what do I do with this person, to being able to have just a smidgen of a conversation with her and being able to cross that gap. So I tell you all of that simply to say sometimes building bridges is easier than we think. And it is very, very important to learn how to speak each other's languages. And sometimes it starts with a simple hello.
So the group has asked me to close our chapel this morning, and I'll be very brief. My guess is that for some of us sitting in this room today, what happened in our nation's capital in 1963 seems like ancient history, especially if you're a traditional college student in your late teens, early 20s. That was 54 years ago. Well, it doesn't seem so long ago to me because I'm 54 years old. And I guess I'm getting ancient too. My kids and friends tell me that. But I guess what I'd like to offer to us today is really simple. It's just a question, so what? So what? I had lots of stories I was going to tell, but I don't want to take too much time today. So that's the question I want to leave with us is so what? And I think it's a really important question for us today at this time in our history as a people. What should we do about all of this? James says it's just not enough to hear the word and go away unchanged. You know, you don't look in the mirror and see things and just leave them untouched. You want to put into action the truth that's been revealed to you. So that's my question, so what? And I would just add this. I think it's a really important question for us at Barclay College in Haviland, Kansas today. You may or may not know that Haviland, Kansas was named after a little lady from Michigan named Laura Haviland. And Laura Haviland became known as the mother of the Underground Railroad. I think we have a little extra responsibility as a community to ask the question, so what? What does this mean for me today? And I'll leave you and the Lord to work on that question together. Therefore, Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace.